Good evening. Again, my name is Jordan Masters, and under the advising of Dr. Eugenia Pena Yevtekov at the Davis College of Agricultural and Natural Resources and Design at West Virginia University, I'm here today to talk about the relationship between Miscanthus giganteus growth and the soil properties in response to residual fertility and time. Miscanthus giganteus is a high-yielding cellulosic biofuel crop, and it has been reported that Miscanthus production results in an increase in overall soil health. Now, studying this added benefit will help understand sustainable production of Miscanthus giganteus as a biofuel crop. The objective of this study was to measure the responses of Miscanthus giganteus and soil properties to residual fertility in the first 5 years of crop establishment. We hypothesized that over time, Miscanthus giganteus vigor will become independent of initial residual fertility treatments, thus causing the final residual fertility and soil properties to become similar regardless of treatment. Now, this experiment was taking place at the West Virginia University Organic Research Farm in Morgantown, West Virginia, and was taking place on a tilted silt loam soil. This soil has a slightly acidic AP horizon and is mainly used for crop, hay, and pasture production. The Miscanthus itself was planted in July of 2010 with a spacing within rows of 0.5 meters and between rows of 1 meter. The management, within the first year it was dry, so we had to do some irrigation as well as weed control to keep down competition of the Miscanthus. However, after the initial year, no mechanical means were needed. There were 5 residual fertility treatments studied in this experiment. And those 5 residual fertility treatments resulted from a previous experiment that took place from 2000 to 2005 and was left at fallow for 5 years until 2010 when this Miscanthus was planted. Of those 5 residual fertility treatments, we studied 0, 2.2, 4.5, 9, and 18 megagrams per hectare. The experiment was designed as a randomized complete block design and consisted of 40 plots within the experiment. The variable plant and soil quality indicators studied in this experiment was plant vigor. To measure the overall height of the health of the plant, we took a cumulative comparison and compared each plant to the entire experiment and all the plants within that experiment. We took into account total height, canopy cover, greenness, as well as tillers, and created a cumulative number from that. We studied plant nutrients, and in this presentation, I will talk about nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. We did soil surface bulk density at 0 to 5 centimeter surface, dry and wet aggregate stability using the same distance as the soil bulk density, and soil chemical properties. And in this demonstration, I'll talk about soil organic matter, pH, potassium, and phosphorus. The data was collected in May through July of 2011 and May through July of 2015, and was analyzed using an ANOVA. So the first results that I'd like to discuss would be the plant vigor. If we look at the dates on the x-axis compared to the relative rank on the y-axis, keep in note that this was kind of like a golf score, so where 1 would be your best score, the higher you get would be the worst. So in 2011, we had significant differences in the vigor among the treatments, with the exception of 9 and 18. Now in 2015, we had an overall decrease in the rank of the vigor, which means that the plants became established and they became healthier. However, what I want to explain is that in 2015, we had no significant differences of the vigor based on its initial residual treatment. And this picture here in 2011, this gives you a visual representation of what I'm talking about as far as the overall health of the plant. So in 2011, we look at the picture, we can see that the color is different between the experiment. We have darker colored leaves, lighter colored leaves. We also have taller plants in the back compared to ones in the front. In 2015, we have very uniform growth. We have the same color consistency, the same heights, and the same canopy covers. So we want to look at the physical properties of the soil and figure out what was maybe causing this non-significant difference among the vigor. So in 2011, we look at the treatments on the x-axis compared to the bulk density on the y. We see that we had significant differences between the treatments, where 9 and 18 were actually similar. And if you remember back to the plant vigor slide, we saw that 9 and 18 also had a similar vigor response that same year. Going into 2015, we had no significant differences in any of the treatments. We also saw that a uniform consistency of a bulk density of 1.3 became uniform across the treatments. When looking at the dry aggregate stability, in 2011, we had significant differences in all of the treatments, again with the exception of 9 and 18. In 2015, we had no significant differences with the exception of treatment 9. However, you can tell that the treatments are becoming homogeneous with their dry aggregate stabilities. And we had the dry aggregate of a geometric mean diameter on the y-axis, and we saw it in 2015. This became similar at about 7 millimeters across all treatments. In 2011, we looked at the wet aggregate stability and comparing treatments on the x-axis to the geometric mean diameter on the y-axis. We see that we had significant differences once again in the wet aggregate stability. But in keeping with the same thing that we've been talking about with the other properties, in 2015, there's no significant difference in any of the wet aggregate stability. And we saw an increase in all treatments going up to about 5 millimeters. When we wanted to look at the tissue composition for the plant, so the Miscanthus giganteus nitrogen tissue composition at harvest in 2011, comparing the treatments on the x-axis to the nitrogen content percentage on the y-axis, we had no significant differences in 2011. That stayed true in 2015. However, the variability between those treatments became smaller. We also saw that the nitrogen content decreased as well as become uniform across the treatments. When we looked at the phosphorus tissue composition at harvest in 2011, we had significant differences, with 9 and 18 being the highest and similar in 2011. However, in 2015, 9 and 18 decreased and became significantly different. However, we did not see very much of a decrease in phosphorus between treatment 0, 2.2, and 4.5, but we did gain an extra group of significant difference in 2015. When we look at the potassium tissue composition at harvest in 2011, comparing the treatments, in 2011, we had three groups of standard deviation differences in 2011. However, in 2015, that went down to only three, and we saw a decrease in all of the treatments with the exception of the 4.5 or the 2.2 treatment. However, you can tell that the treatments are starting to become similar there as well. So when comparing the total dry biomass yield in comparison to those nutrient tissue concentrations, when we look at 2011 and compare the 0 megagrams per hectare to the 18 megagrams per hectare, we see about 100% increase from the two extremes. In 2014, we saw a 4 times increase between all the treatments. However, the variation between 0 megagrams to 18 megagrams becomes less than 100%. So we also want to look at the soil chemical properties that was going on and compare those. So when we looked at the pH level for 2011, we had five groups of significant difference in 2011. However, in 2015, we went down to just 4 groups of significant difference and a slight increase in pH across all treatments as well. When we looked at the soil phosphorus content, soil bioavailable phosphorus content for 2011, we saw that we had 4 significant groups of differences in 2011. However, in 2015, that went down to 3 significant groups of differences. We also saw the similar decrease that we saw in the tissue composition for phosphorus appear here as well in 2015 with the soil bioavailable phosphorus. So we saw 9 and 18 decrease drastically. However, 2.2, 0, and 4.5 still remain very similar. So in 2011, when we compared the bioavailable potassium for 2011, we had 2 groups of significant differences. In 2015, we also had 2 groups of significant differences, but the potassium actually increased across all treatments as well. And when looking at the soil organic matter for 2011, we had 3 groups of significant difference. However, in 2015, that went down to 2, and we saw an increase in organic matter across all treatments as well. So in conclusion, Miscanthus giganteus vigor and yields relationship to residual fertility level changed with time. We saw that the plant vigor became similar regardless of its initial residual fertility. And also, regardless of the initial soil residual fertility treatments, in time, soil properties under Miscanthus giganteus became uniform. The interaction between plant and soil changed the overall soil quality. And finally, understanding the plant and soil interactions for different plant species and soil conditions will aid in the sustainable management of biofuel as well as other crop productions. Thank you. organic applied manure. So it's composted, yes.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, any more questions?
How does this affect the cannabis industry?
Good question. It's still a small industry, so hopefully by kind of learning that, you know, that there is this kind of relationship between the plant and the soil, it may make it a little bit bigger compared to its competitors like corn and sugarcane, to see that, you know, after the effects of the miscanthus of growing there, you could increase your soil quality for the next crop to come in. So.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to follow up that question about the treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give a bit more detail about what was the nature of that organic material?
Mm-hmm.
How was it applied? Was it a dry basis or?
It was composted dairy manure from another one of our animal science farms, and then it was composted and applied by 5-gallon buckets that was equivalent to the amount of megagrams per the whole hectare.
So that was applied in 2000?
That was applied in 2000, yes.
Oh, 2000?
2000, yeah.
And then you did measurements from 2011 to 2015?
Yeah, so the original experiment was conducted from 2000 to 2005, and that was a totally separate experiment. And then those plots were left at fallow for 5 years, and then in 2010, we started this miscanthus project. So these were residual fertility treatments that were left over from that experiment that took place 5 years earlier.
Okay. And if I can follow up with some
mm-hmm.
questions.
Sure.
As a student project, could you clarify what your role on the project was?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a very long-term project.
Yep.
I understand that. So at what point did you actually start on the project
itself? I came on this project about a year and a half ago. So obviously it wasn't me involved in 2010,
okay.
But in 2013, I met my advisor and we started working on this project. So everything that happened in 2015 that I reported was all the data that I collected. So.
Okay, great.
And that is actually probably going to be the last question that we could have asked. Thank you so much.
Yep.